Welcome. Thanks for checking out Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. I'm Michael Costello, the lead pastor here, and I appreciate you taking the time. I hope you find this message encouraging and challenging. If you haven't already, check out our website, gcnaz.church, and get all the information about us. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome in. I am Pastor Michael, the lead pastor here at Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene, or as we lovingly call it, GC Naz. We're glad that you tuned to our online messages, and we're excited that you have taken the time to listen this morning. Well, in a moment, we're going to start our new series, Our Church, Your Home. But first, let me give you a few announcements of things that are coming up soon. So first of all, we have a prayer chain in this church, whether you know it or not, and we are a praying church. We believe in prayer, the power of prayer, and so if you are not a part of our prayer chain, we would encourage you to get involved. It's very easy. Send an email to office@gcnaz.church. You can also call the church office, or if you're in the church building, just grab Evelyn and let her know that you would like to be a part of our prayer chain, and she will get you plugged into that, and we're really excited about that. It's a great way to continue to pray for your church family. Also coming up, we have a kids ministry meeting on Wednesday for any volunteers of kids ministry. It's going to be during real time from 6 to 6:45. Our children's director, Rachel, would love to sit down and talk with you about some things that are coming up in this spring season that's coming, and it's going to be a great time, so be here for that on Wednesday. Also, on February 3rd, in just a few Saturdays, we're going to have our kids' quiz down at West Columbia Central Church of the Nazarene. And if you have need any details on that, you can certainly call the office or pull Miss Rachel, our children's director, aside. Or also, you can pull Courtney aside, our kids' quizzing director. And either one of them would love to give you information on that event if your kids are involved. If they're not, I would encourage your kids to be involved in kids' quizzing. It is a great thing. A great opportunity for them to write God's word on their heart and in their minds, and that will pay dividends throughout their life. So kids quizzing, great thing. Also coming up soon, on February 11th, we've been talking about, ever since the building burned down, our youth building, you know, it did. And in fact, it was the weekend I interviewed here to be your lead pastor. Coincidence, I don't know. But we've been praying as leadership, board, staff, we've been praying that God would give us wisdom and discernment on how we should address that, what we should do, what's our next steps as a church, and we wanted to be prayerful. We wanted to be as thorough as we could in thinking and praying and asking God, listening to God, what does he want us to do? And so we formed, through the board, we formed a dream team, some board members, some people from the church, our staff, and this team is evaluating and planning and dreaming on what could happen in the future, and so in the near future, long-term future. And so as a board, we would like to come to you on February 11th with just an update on where we're at and let you ask some questions, and we will answer them to the best of our ability. I can tell you we are not at the end of the road. We won't have a full-length plan for you on February 11th, but we will have some information to tell you where we've been and where we're at today, and where we hope to be in the near future. So so please plan on attending that. It'll be after church that Sunday morning for about 30 minutes right here in the sanctuary, and it'll be a good time for everybody involved. And then lastly, we have our Ash Wednesday service. Lent is coming, believe it or not. We are almost to the Easter season, and I would love for you to spend the beginning of your Lent with us. If you don't normally come on Wednesdays, you do not want to miss it. Be here that Wednesday night as our kids, our teens, our adults will all come together after dinner and we'll experience Ash Wednesday together in the sanctuary. And I believe it's going to be a great service, a powerful service. And so I encourage you to be here for that. Again, that's February 14th, and it'll be from 6:45 to 7:45 here in the sanctuary. All right, let's dig in. So as I said, we're starting a new series, Our Church, Your Home, and I've been excited about this series for some time now. It's I'm excited to talk about who we are as Nazarenes. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. Now, over the course of the 3 weeks that we have together in this series, I want to accomplish three distinct things, okay? And the first thing I want to accomplish is for us to understand our unique identity as Nazarenes. We are a mainline Christian denomination. We are not a cult. We are not out on a reservation by ourselves, anything. But we do have things about us that are unique. Theologically, missionally, globally, we are a unique congregation, a denomination in some ways. And so I want us to understand some of that. Hold on one second. Let me adjust my microphone a little bit here. The second thing I want to do is I want to give us all a working knowledge of what we believe as Nazarenes. I think it's important if you're going to attend a church, you should know what they believe. And to a certain degree, you should agree with what they believe. If you're going to invest in a church, if you're going to invest time and energy and resources into a denomination, into a local church, you should know what they believe. And so that's what we'll talk about throughout this series. And then finally, I want to lay out who we are as a GC Naz local church family. I think it's important for you to understand from a leadership perspective who we are, what vision God has given us, where we're going, what we're trying to accomplish. I think those are important things for us to know. So those are our three goals. As we accomplish these over the next 3 weeks, I want to remind you that we do have a membership class that's happening during this series as well. We had our first one this Sunday, and it was a great time, and I believe that there was that it was a powerful time for those who were there to hear about the Nazarene Church. But if today sparks a desire in you to join that class, you can still jump in next Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. It'll be the last time you can jump in on this particular class, but we will have membership classes in the future, and if you just want to go it alone and just me and you, we can do that. That's okay. We can figure out a time to get together. But talk to me after the service or send me an email or text message or phone call, whatever. If you're interested in being a member and going through this material, just let me know and I'll plug you in on that. Now, ultimately, the things that we discuss over the next 3 weeks will help you to know who we are and why we do what we do. And this morning, we are going to begin by exploring the history and some of the theological underpinnings of the Nazarene Church. But I need to pause for a moment at this point and where we're at. I need to make sure that you know that I'm going to be teaching you some history this morning. And over the next couple weeks, I'm going to be using some theological language. And I want you to know that you don't need to feel bad because you don't understand everything. My expectation is that you're not going to understand some of what I say. The point of this week and next week particularly is to give you a 30,000-foot overview of the Nazarene Church. If you walk out feeling you want more, again, I'd be happy to sit down with you and fill in any gaps as best as I can. Don't hesitate to ask the questions. These next 3 weeks, for some of you, maybe even many of you, will be like drinking from a fire hose. Again, don't feel bad about that. You're not going to be alone, I promise. There's only so much information I can give you on a Sunday morning during a sermon over these next 3 weeks. You know, this sermon series could be like a whole year, really, but we're not going to do that. But again, if you need gaps filled in, just ask, and I'd be happy to help you. Now, this sermon this morning is broken into three parts. And the first part is a legacy of holiness. The Church of the Nazarene has been a holiness church from the very beginning. Well, what does that mean? Well, the Nazarene Church was born out of the holiness movement of the 19th century. And if you forget what the 19th century means, that just means the 1800s, okay? mid to late 1800s, to be more specific. It was called the Big Tent Revival era. There was lots of big tent revivals and people waving hankies and singing hymns and praise choruses and things. And God grabbed a hold of many people in America at that time. And many new denominations and churches were spawned and formed out of this holiness movement. And one of the guiding verses of the holiness movement back in the 1800s was this. It comes from 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16, which says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" The holiness movement took that call from Peter very seriously. That we are to be holiness people. Like I said before, the Nazarene story begins with the holiness movement. Our denomination was born out of that movement in the 19th century. And this revival, it swept across the United States from East Coast to West Coast, North to South. In fact, I grew up in one of the first denominations founded by Phineas Brzee, one of the founders of the Nazarene Church. The church was founded in 1904. The Church of the Nazarene was founded in 1908. How cool is that? Now let me get more specific about the holiness movement. During these holiness movement revivals, they emphasized the call to live holy lives that were holy, like completely, devoted to God. It was about helping Christians to understand that every aspect of our life is supposed to be centered on Him and devoted to Him. And I can honestly say, and it's hard for me to say that this, but there are churches today who don't believe that. There are churches today that believe what you do matters more than what you believe and who you are. There are churches that teach today that it doesn't matter the conduct of your life, all that matters is that you believe Jesus exists or something. Couldn't be farther from the truth. Because if we are connected to the vine, if we are connected to Jesus, then organically we should become more like Him, which means we should be more holy. It's not that hard to understand. But unfortunately, the Nazarene Church is among very few denominations right now that truly believes that and holds to that. The holiness movement in the 19th century was a movement that set the stage for the birth of our denomination and many other denominations, as I said before. And for us, it was a community of believers dedicated to pursuing holiness as a response to the call that God placed on our lives. Because God places a call on every one of us. And one of those things that God calls every Christian person to do is to be holy as I am holy. It's for everyone. Now let's talk about the birth of the Nazarene Church. Paul said in Philippians 3, 12 through 14, "I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to see what is ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." In October 1908, in Pilot Point, Texas, the Church of the Nazarene emerged as a denomination. Back then, it was called the Pentecostal Church of the Nazarene. Some of you may not know that. The birth of this church was inspired by leaders like Phineas F. Brzee. I mentioned him earlier. H. Orton Wiley, Pilot T. Morgan. That's a great name, Pilot T. Morgan. And Seth Cook Reese. These men, along with several women like Phoebe Palmer, they grew this fledgling church, this new church, this new movement of holiness people. Their vision was to form a community of believers who, acknowledging that they had not yet arrived, like the Philippians passage that Paul says, pressed on toward the goal of holiness in Christ Jesus. These early founders of the Nazarene church, as it was birthed, they had a belief that we were to press on to the goal to be more like Christ. With every day, with every breath that we take, we are more like Him. They believed, as did the theological father of the Nazarene church, John Wesley, that humans were called and able to live holy lives that pursued Christ's will. And that's what holiness is really all about. It can be broken down into two simple things. Being more like Christ, doing His will, His work. Pursuing His calling on your life. Let's move into part two. I want to give you some core beliefs that are founded in Scripture of the Nazarene Church. We're not going to go through the articles of faith today. The Nazarene Church has 16 distinct articles of faith that we believe. We've also got a covenant of Christian character, some things character-wise that Christians in the Nazarene Church should possess. And then we also have a covenant of Christian conduct. And these are some of our, I guess you would call it, stances on things. Our beliefs on certain things, how we live out our holiness as Christians. But we'll get to that next week. The first belief that we have that's anchored in Scripture is this. We believe that holiness is a journey. Holiness is not just a single moment in time that you become holy in it. From that point on, everything's fine, you're perfect, you're a perfect Christian, never make a mistake. We do not believe that. Any Christian, any Nazarene, pastor or leader, who teaches that we can be sinless is lying to you. Number one, that's not in the Nazarene doctrine and beliefs. We believe it's a journey. And that journey has to start somewhere. So we also believe that there is a, what we would call a crisis moment. A moment when God steps in, and you've already begun to follow Him. We call it the second work of grace sometimes. But it's this idea that at some point after you initially accept Christ, there's a moment when you realize you have not given everything over to Him yet. That there's still some things that you're holding on to. Maybe it's sin, shame, guilt, anger, whatever the case is, resentment, bitterness. And you need to let it go. And at that moment, you decide you're going to allow God to lead your life fully. That you're going to allow Him to be the, pardon the expression, the pilot of the airplane. That you want your intentions of heart. You want the intention of your heart to be geared towards Him. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 14, it says this: work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Man, it's harsh words. That's a tough verse to read, isn't it? Those who are not holy will not see the Lord. The heart of Nazarene identity is a pursuit of holiness. At the heart of being a Nazarene is this idea that we pursue holiness, trying to be more like Him every single day. To be holy means to be set apart. What are we set apart from? The world. What are we set apart to? being more like Him, doing His will, doing His work, His kingdom building work. Rooted in Scripture, we understand holiness is a continuous journey, a response to God's call to live set apart for His purposes. Now, I'm going to be honest about something for just a minute about the Nazarene church. In the past, this pursuit of holiness has led the Nazarene church to, quite honestly, be known more for what the church is against rather than what we're for. It also has led the Nazarene church to struggle with legalism. I'm not going to get deep into this morning, but there was a time not that long ago in the Nazarene church where dancing was not okay at all. Well, that conflicts with Scripture. But the reason that the Nazarene church had a prohibition on dancing was because we were afraid that if you dance, that'll lead to sin, which leads to death. Therefore, just cut out the dancing, you don't have to worry about sinning. But here's the rub. David danced in Psalms, didn't he? So now, the Nazarene church says, we shouldn't be dancing unless it brings glory to God. You see? So there are groups that are going to TNT, as our students did this weekend, who do interpretive dance that is glorifying God, that is about praising Jesus. That's okay. We as Nazarenes have grown past that. Now, legalism means that we emphasize rules as a church to help us avoid sin rather than emphasizing the heart behind why we shouldn't engage in sinful behavior in the first place. This is about being like Him. It's not about avoiding behaviors, although that may be the result, or should be the result. It's about getting closer to Jesus. And we sometimes forget that. Holiness is not about a list of do's and don'ts. Holiness is about being made more and more into the likeness of Christ. I, for one, believe that is an aspiration worth pursuing, church. That's why I'm a Nazarene. Because I want to call people to that. I believe we are supposed to live lives of holiness and righteousness. Set apartness. Because if we don't, if Christians behave the same way as non-Christians, then what's the point of knowing Jesus? If there's no change, no transformation, why follow Jesus in the first place? There's no difference. I could free up my Sundays and my Wednesdays. Right? It's because it's about the change. Change to be more like Him. Now, the second thing, when I talk about we have core beliefs anchored in Scripture, I said before we have articles of faith. We have 16 of them. And all of our articles of faith are rooted in Scripture. And I want to read a passage to you. It's out of 2 Timothy 16, chapter 3, 16 and 17. It says this: all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Any church that is worthwhile will have its belief system and doctrine rooted in the Word of God. The articles of faith of the Church of the Nazarene, which we're going to discuss more next week, are most certainly rooted in Scripture. In fact, those who are going through the membership class next week, and we're going to go through the articles of faith, the covenant of Christian character, the covenant of Christian conduct next week, you're going to see that at the bottom of each of them is a whole host of Scriptures that support that particular article of faith. Or that particular part of the covenant of Christian conduct, for instance. Everything we do is rooted in Scripture. Our doctrinal foundation is the articles of, they are the articles of faith, which affirm the authority of God's word. We believe in God's word. We believe the scripture matters. It is through scripture that we find guidance and correction and inspiration for the Christian life. All right, let's move to part three. I want to tell you about the mission of the Church of the Nazarene. This will be our last piece for this morning. Number one, the Great Commission. In one of Jesus' final moments with his disciples, he gives them a mission. In turn, he gave all Christ followers a mission to pursue. It was not just for the disciples there, it was for us too. And I want us to take a look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. For many of you, this will be a common passage you've heard before. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all commands I have given you. Be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The mission of the Church of the Nazarene is to make Christ-like disciples in the nations. That's our mission statement, to make Christ-like disciples in all the nations. Just in our mission statement alone, you can see it is rooted in Scripture. It comes directly from what God himself says in Matthew chapter 28, 19 through 20. We are a Great Commission church, and we are not ashamed of that. As Nazarenes, we are called to fulfill the Great Commission, making disciples of all nations. We are called to be disciple makers, church. And as Nazarenes, we take that very seriously. Our connectional structure and our shared mission as a denomination amplify our impact as we work together to bring the transformative message of Christ to the world. We believe each individual Nazarene has a responsibility to be a Great Commission person, follower of Jesus. All of us. And when we come together locally as a church, that's also our mission, to make Christ-like disciples in the nation. As we wrap up this morning, let's review what we have learned today. When you are asked the question, who are Nazarenes? You can give a three-part answer, real simple. We are a holiness people. We are a holiness people. Number two, we are a Bible-believing people. And number three, we are a missional people. As we embrace our identity, may we be a people who continually press on toward the goal, anchored in grace and shining the light of Christ in a world in desperate need of His redeeming love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be what we've always been as Nazarenes, a holiness people, a people dedicated to the belief that Your Word, the Scripture, the Bible, is our foundation. And let us never forget the mission that You have called us to of making Christ-like disciples in the nation. Making disciples who make disciples. That is our goal. That is our mission. That is our calling. Let us, as GC Naz, as Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene, be successful in those three things. Father, we love You. And I pray these things in Your name. Amen. As Paul ends or begins all of his messages, all of his letters, may grace and peace be with you. into this week. Have a great week. Blessings.